It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. A great panel today. Georgia Dow joins Larry Magid and Phil Libin, the former CEO of Evernote, to talk about the week's tech news. We'll show off the new iPhone 7. Yes, we have a jet black one. Explain what happened to the headphone port and what they put in place. The answer may surprise you. We'll also talk about why Congress might need to act pretty quickly to keep the FBI from snooping into your computer. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 580, recorded Sunday, September 18th, 2016. This happens. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter TWiT. And by GoToMeeting. Be a meeting MVP. GoToMeeting is the online meeting tool that lets you easily collaborate and present from anywhere with one click, so you always put on your best performance. Step up your meeting game and start your free 30-day trial at GoToMeeting.com. And by Squarespace. Squarespace is the simplest way to create a beautiful website. Set your business, portfolio, or blog, or wedding apart at Squarespace. Enter the offer code TWIT and get 10% off. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/TWIT and entering the promo code TWIT. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the week's tech news. I am Leo Laporte, and we've assembled a lovely panel here. This is my getaway day. I'm going on vacation right after this show. So everybody agreed to start a little bit early so I can get to the airplane. Look who's in studio. I'm really thrilled. An old friend, Phil Libin, is here. Phil is, you probably remember his name as the CEO of Evernote. And now as a venture capitalist. So because you no longer work for Evernote, you can be on the show.
Thank you.
Actually wanted to be on the show.
I did. You were maybe the first person I met when I moved to Silicon Valley about 10 years ago.
Really?
So,
oh, nice.
Been a lifelong dream of mine.
Where did you come from?
Boy, that's a long story.
I think you're Russian, right?
I was born in Russia.
Yeah.
In St. Petersburg. Moved
to your hometown.
Do you think of it as your hometown? I do not.
No. Because you were a little baby.
I was eight. I was kind of a big baby.
You might remember it.
I remember, yeah. I remember pretty well, but it was a long time ago.
I moved to New York,
grew up there.
So what's interesting is your accent is this mix of Russian and New York. It's awesome.
I grew up in the Bronx. That's probably more of a Bronx accent.
Yeah, you're the Bronx. That's nice. And then Evernote was when? 10 years ago?
Yeah, 2007. Came out to California for Evernote in 2007.
I remember when I first started using it, before you were part of it, it was a couple of Russian brothers, were they? Something like that? A couple of Russian guys.
So there was two kind of precursor companies to Evernote. There was a team here started by Stepan Pachikov, who was this very eccentric, brilliant Russian-American scientist, engineer guy. And he actually had the original team out of the Apple Newton. These are the guys who did the handwriting recognition for the Apple Newton.
Oh, wow. Because they were trying to do, it was like a grocery tape, kind of continuous roll. Before OneNote.
Yeah, we called it the toilet paper interface. It was just like a big roll of toilet paper that you could just write on. And it was super cool. And then I had a team in Boston. We started working on a very similar idea. Got together, kind of recreated the company. So the modern Evernote came around in 2007.
And you left the company just a year or two ago,
Over a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I became a VC, joined the dark side.
Are you still on the board or associated with them in any way?
I stepped down from the board yesterday.
So what?
Very recently.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been struggling, but I root for it. I really love Evernote. I loved it when I first used it, and I think I have more data stored in Evernote, and I keep looking at other options, and nothing suits.
Yeah, it's a really I use it multiple times a day, every day. I kind of live in it. I'm really proud of what we built.
What happens? But I think part of the problem is it's freemium, the conversion rate is low of people to the paid version.
So it's, you know, I don't want to officially speak for the company anymore. So
you don't. Get them. So that's why I'm asking you now.
I think
you would never tell me before.
So I think it's actually doing really well.
Okay.
I think numbers are all good.
Good.
You know,
they raised the price a little bit.
They raised the price in some countries. They lowered it in other countries. Okay. Basically, just repriced it.
That bothered some people, though.
I'm sure it bothered a lot of people. Yeah. But you know, I think
it's worth it. It's worth $8 a month to me.
I think it's a fair price for what you get out of it.
Also joining us to your left, one of my favorite people who I've never met, Georgia Dow of iMore.com. Hi, Georgia.
Hey, Leo.
She's borrowing Johnny Ives' white room once again.
Yes. I haven't set up my back area. I will at some point have it set up.
I've been really interested because I'm wondering, the reason you were in this new area is you gave your husband your old studio for his Vive room.
Yes.
How is he now? Okay, here we are several months later, still using it?
Yeah, we both still absolutely love it. We have bean bags that we move out of the room so we can play some of the newest games on the Vive. Okay. We have Oculus also downstairs, which we'll probably move upstairs as well. And so, yeah, I still have the white wall. I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
I just got a Vive.
I feel like, you know, I'm from the... Did you?
Yeah, it's nice.
So, okay, I have another question, because as soon as I put the anniversary update on Windows 10 on my ultimate virtual reality gaming machine, the Vive started crashing every time. So is it working okay with Windows 10 and anniversary update for you guys? So it must just be it's just me.
Yeah, for me, yeah. Okay. I don't know how you have it set up, but it might be just for you.
It's the NVIDIA card driver, and I haven't had the time to sit down and really do it. In fact, I haven't even checked lately. Because I thought, they'll just update the driver eventually and it'll work. It was one of the many things that stopped working with anniversary update of Windows 10.
I spent about an hour in Job Simulator the other day, and it was pretty fulfilling.
I know. It's weird.
Yeah.
You Xerox your butt. You can staple things, throw stuff over the cubicle wall.
It was uncannily accurate representation.
Of day-to-day life.
Yeah, it's pretty much my day life.
That's why he had to leave Evernote.
Yeah, too much.
The truth comes out.
Yeah. Also, with
I love Quiver as well, which is a great
Quiver.
Game. If
What's
you haven't
that?
Already tried
What's
it,
Quiver. I haven't.
It's an archery game where you're defending a keep. It's still in alpha mode, but it's a fabulous game. And I think I play it like every time I play the Vive, I will at least once play Quiver.
See,
with VR.
Let me introduce Larry, and then I'll continue because I want to talk to you about the VR. Larry Maggot is also here from CBS. Radio News and ConnectSafely.org and SafeKids.com. And it's always a pleasure to have you in here, too.
Always a pleasure, Leo.
Yeah, my good buddy. And you said you couldn't come today because your media group is meeting.
Our media group is meeting.
It's not a book group.
No, it is a book and movie group. So we're tonight's subject is the Manchurian Candidate. So we had to read the book and watch both movies. And the book was good, although I have to admit I'm not completely done with the book. I fell asleep at one point. Not because the book is boring, but I always fall asleep when I read.
Yeah, me too.
I read it on an airplane last night from New York and I was exhausted. But I love the Frank Sinatra, the old movie. The original movie is phenomenal. And the newer one, Denzel Washington, is always great, but the movie is not that good.
Classic.
Have you done The Martian yet?
Oh.
No. Not yet.
So does it always have to be a movie book tie-in?
I don't know. This media club is only about, you know, two media club events old.
I don't think that's a bad idea, though, for a book
that's
slash
a good
movie
idea.
Club.
And my wife, we're having it in my house. My wife is actually getting Manchurian food for dinner tonight. So we're going to have some.
That's I don't hot know what pot. No, be, it's hot it, pot, right?
It's going to be good, whatever it is.
Yeah. So I was going to ask about VR. I'll ask both you, Phil, and Georgia, although maybe, Larry, you've been using it, too. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired of it. I'm over it. It's like 3D for TVs to me. It's just like, okay, I did it. I'm not going to live in it. It's fun once in a while. You're not sick of it?
I'm not at all.
No.
It's great.
For me, it's immersive. I love the immersion. I enjoy gaming anyways, but to be able to game when you're actually exercising and working out, ducking behind things. The wonderful thing is I can use my martial art training, and I actually feel like that now it's a real use. I can actually fight things.
No, wait a minute. So, no, you're not fighting anything. You're looking like a dork with a toaster on your forehead and nunchucks in your hand going like this.
But in my mind,
okay.
But if you look like a amazing. Dork in the forest and no one's there to see you, you really look like a dork.
You really look like a dork, yeah.
That's not what stopped me. I just don't want to wear that headset for more than, you know, a little bit at a time.
Have you crashed in anything yet? With Vive, at least with HTC, I think they have, don't they have the room. Boundary they put you, they put you around.
You can see when you get too close to the edge of your space, the little green lines.
But if you use the Samsung VR where you're only tethered to your phone, which may be in your pocket, you can walk into anything or off a cliff. And I wouldn't say I'm completely tired of it, but it's not, I don't find it that compelling. Maybe it's my age. I'm not a big gamer. But I have one problem. So, you know, the New York Times, they had this, it's an app and you can get it on. In fact, they gave away the cardboard of VR. Yeah. So I'm watching this really compelling video and I actually am enjoying it.
Children of War. Were you watching this?
Yeah. I'm not enjoying it, but I'm appreciating
it. It's amazing news.
And all of a sudden I hear this plane and it's dropping supplies, I think, in the Sudan. But I don't see the plane. Because in the real world, if a plane were flying over me, I would actually know it was over me because I could hear it was over me. I'd look up to it. But I couldn't figure out where this plane was, and I actually missed the important scene. And I realized that in a movie, a director goes out of his or her way to make sure you're looking at the important thing that you should be paying attention to. In virtual reality, it's up to you to know where to look. And I think it works well in some environments, but for movie-type presentations, I actually felt myself not getting the full value out of it.
You have to tune it for the... You're right. I mean, you have to tune it for the experience. That's why gaming, I think, works well as opposed to storytelling.
Yeah.
I think storytelling's going to be great. It's just people haven't really figured out how to do it.
They have to get the audio right. They have to figure out three...
Well, that's another problem. None of these do the audio right. None of them move the audio in the same way they move the picture.
I think I've seen some with very good positional audio.
They're getting there. Yeah.
Look, it's just... You know, all of the first movies, right, when films first came out, they were all just basically people filming, like, plays.
Right.
And it took a long time. It took decades for people to figure out how to actually tell a story.
And television with just radio with pictures.
Eventually. Yeah, it'll take a few years, but I think it's going to be pretty amazing. I mean, I can tell when the experiences have been getting better exponentially, and I can see greatness to it. I would say, like, it's already great, but it's not yet good. It's like, as soon as you get to good.
How do you get to great without going through
that's
good?
I actually think
most of the really important things skip good. They go directly to great, and then it takes a few years to get to sort of work backwards to good. Kind of make it actually, you know, file off all the rough edges.
I'm willing to withhold judgment. I just feel like there was so much hype, and I fell for it as well and spent a lot of money and time doing it. And then I kind of have this gnawing suspicion that it might be just a fad.
You see, I don't think it's going to be a fad because I've had, I think, everyone that I know try it out. And these are people usually that don't game. And I think that it's really good at certain things. So when you're playing, first-person shooters against other people, it's a wonderful experience. It's much more salacious when you shoot someone and you're actually ducking behind something and running towards them. I have been punched a couple of times when my child's playing it, and I have hit the wall and broke my Vive controller once as well. But it's a really immersive experience to that. I think that it's different. Like, there's a certain things that would be good for. I think that watching a horror film in VR might be too intense, but for people that want that level of intensity, the fact that you might miss something and you're constantly looking around your shoulder, I think, would add to the experience to it. But again, it's first gen.
Anybody have any updates on the porn? I know that Pornhub or one of these sites has
developed. I got tired of that, too.
I haven't checked it out. No, I actually haven't. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I just haven't.
I've checked it out. I got tired of that, too.
I mean, did it add any dimension to it?
Well, it's pretty immersive.
Well, that's what porn ought to be about, I guess.
Right? I don't know. I don't think so.
Really? Maybe not.
Actually.
Maybe not.
Yeah, and maybe this is another case where they'll get better at it because we don't yet know how to do it.
Because
aren't
they usually the early adopters? I mean, you know, the old thing with VHS. Yeah,
first of all, I'm not sure that's true. I think that that's a common misnomer, or misstatement. But so I think here's my problem. I think VR in general demos great, and people get very excited when they first do it. It's really exciting. I think I'm just not clear that it has a long term appeal to it for a number of reasons. It makes people queasy is a big one, and about 10% of everybody uses it is going to stay queasy. But also, it's
it's, I don't know. You know, maybe I feel the same way about video games. So maybe that's, you know, I get tired of it after a while.
It's also kind of a big megillah to get to do it. I mean, if I want to watch TV, I just turn on the TV and it's right there, right?
Yes. I mean, come on.
If I want to do VR, it's kind of like playing soccer.
You've got to buy a new computer. That's why it'd be interesting. Sony's going to come out with this PlayStation VR in a couple of months, and that will be a lot
easier. That's really nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice. The PlayStation VR is fabulous. Like, that's a great... I was really surprised with how good PlayStation VR was when I tested out. I tested out it on Heist, which I think is, Leo, the same game that you tried with it. It was great.
Yeah, you're riding in a car. Jason Statham's driving. They're worried about Chechen terrorists on motorcycles. You have to shoot out their tires. That one?
Yeah. It was amazing. It was really... It was much faster to set up. It was easier to use. I think that... And the screen, like, it was really exceptionally good. I think that this is something, like, it's more exhausting. If you want a very passive experience, virtual reality is not that. It's very, very immersive. It's a little bit exhausting. It's tiring. I think that for the younger generation, they're often looking for that. They want something that will be more immersive than just a game that you're looking on a screen. And so I definitely increases my anxiety faster. It makes me feel like I'm there. I think that if you're looking for something that you can relax and do, I think that virtual reality is not that by its nature.
You know, I think you really solved it for me, because by the time I'm ready to kind of play a game, I'm sitting there on the couch with a beer, vegging out. And so maybe that, I think that's actually a very good understanding of it. Thank you. I know why.
Partly this is an occupational hazard, because part of my job is to look at any new thing and say, well, is this really genuinely life-changing or technology-changing, or is it just, because let's face it, Silicon Valley's throwing a lot of stuff up against the wall, and most of it isn't.
But you can tell early. Like, this is nothing like 3D
TVs. You think
TVs.
This is a big deal?
Yeah, it's a big deal. And the negatives.
So, I'll believe it.
The problems that you guys are pointing out about them are kind of funny. Like, it takes too long to set up.
Well, it's expensive. We had to build a multi-$1,000 PC to do it.
Well, that'll change.
Boy, you know, this reminds me of a conversation that I was having about 100,000 years ago when Fire first came out. We were sitting in a cave.
Oh, man, you got to gather wood.
I know. And it's like, I just don't see the big deal. And it's like, it's hot and it burns you.
It can burn you.
But you can, like, you can hurt yourself.
Are you saying, Phil, that this is equivalent to the invention of fire?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, we shall see.
It's virtual fire. That's all.
I think it's a big step forward. Everything is kind of clunky right now, but it has the seeds of greatness in it.
I understand.
In a way that 3D TV never did. Like, 3D TV
was just a gimmick. What about virtual versus augmented?
I think, see, to me, augmented is really going to be the revolution. The reason I wanted to ask George is because you've been using it now for 6 months. You and your husband were very hot on it. And if anybody was going to get tired of it, it would be you. You're early adopters, but you've spent a lot of time, and you still love it. So that, in a way, that's a data point that's valuable to me. I've always said, and by the way, Tim Cook this week said it as well. He said Apple's much more interested in augmented reality than virtual reality.
I think those are really totally different things. I think VR is really entertainment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's meant to be immersive. It's meant to be entertainment.
And that's what Tim said, is you can't see what's going on. Yeah. I mean, you're just in this world of your own.
Yeah. And AR.
And you don't want to. You're sad and depressed after when you go back to your regular world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially now.
But AR is probably less entertainment. Maybe some entertainment uses like Pokemon, but for the most part, it'll be about productivity, and it'll be pretty amazing when it happens.
Utility.
Well, but we had somebody call the radio show today, said I have a medical condition where I can't remember faces.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have that.
Yeah,
too.
I might actually.
Oh, really?
That is a real thing, right, Georgia?
Face blindness.
Facial aphasia. Facial aphasia. That's a real thing.
And he said, I know there's facial recognition. Is it possible for me to use it to when I see people to remind me who I'm meeting? And I said, well, I think all the companies have it. It's not even that hard to do. Google has it. Facebook has it. Apple has it, but none of them are willing to release this kind of general recognition, mostly because of the stalker problem. I wonder, though, if you had, what is it, facial aphasia, if you could get a prescription for it. Because that's what, to me, augmented reality would be awesome. It'd be like being in Daniel Suarez's Demon, where you look at somebody and they've got, not only their name, that's Joe. His wife is Irma.
Yeah.
They have two children. His birthday's tomorrow. But also reputation score. Like, and he's high on really chaotic evil. Stay away. And I would love to be gamifying the world. That's more than productivity.
That's
fascinating.
Been a little bit. That's well, with the before the user score, I was all with you, and I think that that would be the same thing as when you look at your own photos and you set it up yourself. That wouldn't be something that would.
Well, that's what happens
enter
now.
Into the,
you could do
right,
family
which
and friends.
Would definitely, it would definitely be helpful for people that are dealing with that because people don't really even understand how difficult it is to go through life if you're dealing with that. Mm-hmm. I think that having the rep score from different people.
Oh, I just added that. We could take that out.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
Although I think that would be amazing.
I don't think I've got the clinical case of it, but boy, I meet a lot of people who seem to recognize me and I don't recognize them. And it's not that just they've seen me on TV or something. They're actually people I've met.
It happens to me all the time.
And it's always embarrassing. I try to act like I know who they are, but.
Well, right. So now you're
sure. That's because, Leo, you meet probably like just way too many people. There's no way that you could store that many people.
I had this problem even before anyone knew who I was. Like it's gotten worse since I've become somewhat known.
I think we all have that problem.
Yeah, but it's like
nobody wants to admit it.
This is definitely technology that's coming, and I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, so enough about VR because we have new iPhones here, and that's really what matters.
Speaking of new iPhones, the first mainstream augmented reality experience, I think, is actually going to be not visual. It's going to be with the AirPods.
That actually is, to me, the most interesting thing about what Apple did this year.
Yeah. Well, the most interesting is Mario. The second most interesting is AirPods.
Mario Run. Yeah. No, the idea that these are going to become more than just headphones. These are hearables, and they ultimately can have a lot of value.
I think
Siri,
these,
you talk to Siri. And
yeah, I think this is going to be the mainstream wearable, like in a way that the watch wasn't.
No, I completely agree.
The wearable is going to be the headpiece.
And just like VR, it's going to be awful at first. They're going to fall out. You look like an idiot with
they're dorky.
With a little drooly thing coming out of both ears.
They do look a little bit dorky. I wish that they would have them in metal or black so it didn't. I know that they were going
with
iconic.
Like high-end, or like high-end hearing aids that are essentially invisible.
Why would you want them to be invisible? They should just be awesome looking.
Well, and that's the microphone, right? That's the thing coming down as a microphone.
That's true. Yes. The mic has to be visible.
Yeah. And I thought it was really interesting. Yeah. Both ears have a microphone, which is not typical of Bluetooth headsets. Yeah. Is that just convenience of manufacture, or is there beam forming happening from your two little, my favorite Martian mandibles
here? It's for people who talk out of both sides of their mouth.
So we have here some iPhone 7s. Apple was funny this week. Ooh. They said, don't get in line if you want a 7 Plus because there are none. Yet, somehow, one of my employees not only got a 7 Plus without having pre-ordered it, but even got a 7 Plus that's shiny.
That's Vader black.
That's the jet black.
I was like, how much more black could that be?
That is so. I think. Well, oh, see, it's a fingerprint.
Very smudgy.
And he won't. He's actually said, you can't put this on the table. I have to have this special cloth here, like a museum piece, because he doesn't want it to get scratched. And already, I've got. I'm sorry, Josh Windisch. I got fingerprints. I got the only one I get. I got a gold one. It's like no one wanted that one.
I couldn't get one. I was like 13 minutes late in pre-ordering.
Yes. I was up at midnight last week. So here's a funny anecdote. I fix it. Josh, it's okay. I'm not going to scratch it. I promise. I fix it, tore these down, right? Of course, that's the first thing they do. They went to Japan, Tokyo, got it early, tore it down. And remember now, this is the phone. You can't really see it. This is like the B2 bomber or something. I'll do it on this one. This is the phone that instead of having a headphone jack over here to the left of the lightning port, has another speaker grill. So I fix it, tears it apart, and they say, wait a minute. Those are just holes in the body. There's actually no speaker there. The stereo speakers are this speaker and the one up top that you listen to.
That makes sense.
And they said, we're not sure really what's going on. There's a plastic kind of baffle behind this. So Apple, now forced to reveal the truth, said, oh, yeah, so... So that plastic baffle is a barometric filter that keeps water from coming in, but allows the air pressure to equalize inside the phone. Why? Because there's an altimeter in the phone, and if the air pressure doesn't actually match the inside and the outside, it won't know what the altitude is. So we gave up a headphone jack, but we got an altimeter. Congratulations.
Well, I'll take it. And no day goes by when I don't want to know what altitude I'm at.
You'll take it? Really? You think that's a fair trade?
No, I'm just joking.
They'd always had an altimeter, but because this is a sealed phone now, they had to have some way of letting the air pressure equalize without letting water in. But Apple made this big deal about how we're going to take out the headphone jack that gives us so much more room to do stuff. Apparently, it gives us some more room to put a barometer.
But, you know, the other thing they say, it helped with waterproof, although the Galaxy S7 is water resistant, and it does have a headphone jack. And by the way, it's good that it's water resistant, because when it catches on fire, you can dip it in water and it will.
Well, that's the point. If you look at the Note 7, it's a bigger screen, a pen, and a smaller form factor, including a headphone jack. Yeah. So while Apple's saying, oh, we needed the room. And by the way, Apple's saying everybody will be doing this.
Yeah.
I, for one, hope that everybody's not doing it. I'm traveling with this iPhone 7, and I'm searching for my dongle because...
Aren't we all? the thing, Leo...
I gotta have a dongle!
The problem with everybody doing that might work if it weren't a proprietary connector.
Right.
If it were USB-C, then I could say, okay, fine, the whole industry's got a switch.
I'll buy my headphones, right, but it's not...
Let's say license Lightning to every manufacturer, which is not going to happen. We're going to have a world of different kinds of adapters.
I'm with Apple on this.
You're an iPhone user.
I'm an iPhone user,
and
but although it's the 6 Plus,
hurry to get the 7.
I'm in a total hurry. I was 30 minutes late ordering it, and now it's like shipping in 2 weeks.
All right, so go ahead. You can play with this one. There's a couple of differences. One, this is not a physical button, right? It's a haptic button. Tell me what you think of that. This is his first time touching my haptic button. See that? It gives a little.
It's nice. It's nice. Yeah.
I don't like it as much.
I don't either.
I find the haptic button on the phone a little bit... It doesn't give me the same oomph when I press the button on my...
It also doesn't work with gloves because it's actually capacitive. Now...
But what could you do with gloves with
But if you have capacitive gloves, it'll work with capacitive gloves.
Now I got to get a Lightning headphones and a capacitive gloves.
Well, I live in Canada. Everyone has to have capacitive gloves because it's cold and you want to use
your
phone.
You could at least do something with your phone.
But now you can just tilt it to wake it up with iOS 10.
You don't really. All right, I agree. And by the way, a physical button is going to break sooner, wear out sooner, and is more of a problem with
water. Let water in.
Yeah, I think this is a beautiful design. Well, maybe not.
It's
the
same as the old one. What's beautiful about it?
I think the
old one is beautiful.
I think the old one is beautiful, but I really like this a ton, and I'm have no problem with getting rid of the headphone jack, none whatsoever.
Why? Because you just buy a bunch of dongles.
Well.
Will you only use Lightning, or will you only use wireless?
I think probably most of the time I'll just use wireless.
Yeah, I think that's the plan, right?
And I think it's like the headphone jack is dumb. Like, I mean, I'm not a judgment on it. I mean, literally, like, it's not a piece of electronics that you can carry like a smart signal through.
Dumb in the sense that it's just an analog port,
right? Which means that you're limited to anything that you plug into it is really limited to what you can do. What Apple wants to do is say that every headphone in the future is actually going to be a wearable computer that you can do a ton with, that you can swipe on, that has sensors on it. Like, it is the ultimate wearable. And so getting rid of that headphone jack, making people go with either a Lightning connector or wireless, actually just makes a ton of sense. Like, I'm glad they did it.
Except for the fact, it's a proprietary interface. That's the part that bothers me.
You know, the iPhone's a proprietary interface. Apple's always been about the primacy of the user experience at the expense of theoretical standards.
It's gradually been moving into its own sphere. Mm-hmm. But this is probably, the biggest step to saying, forget the rest of the world. It's Apple. If you're either all in or Apple or you're not.
No, in some ways they become more open, in some ways they become more closed.
How are they more open?
A lot of the software stack is.
No one can use the NFC except Apple.
Right. But the actual development for it, there's a lot more interoperability with apps that they release.
That
in
has improved.
9 and 10.
And I have to say, the biggest improvement on this you could get on your phone, which is iOS 10, the new Siri and the ability for Siri to launch apps and talk to apps.
Yeah.
Is great.
Yeah.
I like iOS 10.
I've got iOS 10 on this phone, and it's
big,
it's really good.
To me, this is an incremental improvement. Go ahead.
I thought I was going to be really upset about the AirPods. I really didn't like to lose the connector and have to use a dongle, but when I tried out the AirPods, they actually fit really comfortably in my ears. Double tapping to have Siri control volume, everything was nice and effortless. They have fabulous sound as well. So I think that people will, move over a little bit more quickly than we thought we would.
I want it like telling me things in my ear. reminders.
I would love that.
It's going to happen. That's what people are going to be working on. Like, I'll be hacking around on it. This is going to be a significant thing.
I think we put a lot of pressure on Apple each year to make a massive change to the phone. And this, it doesn't have to be. Mm-hmm. Even in this, the talk year, where ostensibly you'd have a new design. And Apple is not going to not have an event and make a big deal about the new phone, even if it isn't that much different. You got the dual lens camera, you got a haptic button, faster processor, better screen. These are incremental, minor improvements, but Apple's going to have I realize Apple is so good at is telling a story, and they're brilliant at telling this story and getting people excited and buying into the story. Whether mm-hmm. the story technically, makes a lot of sense, or is, if it's a real technical achievement. And you must know this, must have experienced this in your own career in tech, that the story is as much as important, if not more important, than the technology, actually.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the story is true.
It can't be a lie.
It's authentic.
But it has to be something that resonates with people. And frankly, it doesn't have to be 100% true, because I'm not going to buy the story that the headphone jack is obsolete and dumb. But if you do, then it's something magical is happening for you. And mm-hmm. that's what Apple's really most mm-hmm. skilled at, is creating that sense of enchantment. Right?
I would say a year from now, there's going to be apps that rely on smart headphones that are going to be pretty magic. That wouldn't have happened had they,
you know,
had
what?
They kept
I'll be very the excited hole. Then. Right yeah. now, it's a pain in the ass because I have to run around and get a $9 dongle.
Well, it comes with
one,
right?
It comes with one.
It comes with a dongle.
Yeah, you'll lose it, probably.
I think I know where my dongle is.
Let's just keep it attached to your headphones.
I have more than one pair of headphones.
But keep those inside your pocket when you travel, and that's it.
I do. I think that's where my dongle is. I don't think I've lost it yet. I'm not going to use the Apple-supplied Lightning headphones. They're not very good. Maybe when the AirPods come out, I'll be convinced. Jet Black, did you see that? Okay, that's it.
So I have one other comment. We make such a huge deal about things like a Jet Black iPhone. I'm trying to figure out why that's more than of passing interest that they've added
Apple
a color.
Apple tells a story.
Yeah.
Did you see the video? We polish it in sand in three different axes, and then the giant wheel comes down and zzz, and the thing is, it's paint. And in fact, that's the real problem is that you get it and you go, well, that was made in special sand with a giant wheel, and then it scrapes just like paint. It just scrapes off.
It reminded me of the wine industry, where they're always doing these pretentious kinds of things about, the nose, and I'm thinking, oh, come on, it's just a beverage.
That's
actually the
best example. True. They've even done tests where they change the label on wines, and people think that the expensive label is so much better.
Well,
actually, I think Apple's doing exactly the same thing with it.
I did something on Facebook last day. I was in New York yesterday and took a picture of a building on both a Galaxy, believe it or not, an S6, not even the latest Galaxy, and the new Honor 8 that came out, this cheap $400 phone that came
out.
And I posted it on my Facebook page. I said, guess what? What camera I use for these pictures. And I had all the different zooms from 1X all the way up to about 8X. And everybody was absolutely certain I was taking these pictures with an iPhone 7 Plus. But of course I wasn't. And I'm not saying that the iPhone 7 Plus doesn't have a better camera. I'm sure it does. But I am saying that when I posted these pictures, including some relatively kind of good zooms, people were impressed, even though I was using an old phone and a cheap phone.
I had a call from a woman who has an iPhone 6 who says, I talk for 18 minutes on T-Mobile and it drops. And now I know why. I didn't know at the time. But John Ledger, CEO of T-Mobile, says, "Do not, if you own an iPhone 6, 6 Plus, or an iPhone SE, do not install iOS 10. It's causing those three models to lose connection to the network."
Just on T-Mobile?
Just on T-Mobile. Originally, it was believed that it was the carrier update was on problem was on T-Mobile's end. He says John says Apple's working to resolve the issue. But in the meantime, if you're a T-Mobile customer, iOS 10 is not for you. There were other problems with the initial launch of iOS 10, including bricking in the first hour. Apple fixed that right away.
I saw an email that they fixed the T-Mobile problem.
I'm seeing this now. According to T-Mobile, Apple has, this is the latest. Good news, iOS 10 fix is ready early. Go to Settings, General, Software Update if you have a T-Mobile phone. So just a little public service. That was fixed quickly. Thank you.
Good.
Let's take a break. Come back with more. We have a great panel. Great to have you, Larry Magid. You wanted to mention ConnectSafely.org and Save Kids. I have to say thank you because we had a little issue with our 13-year-old and online harassment and stuff. And, you know, it's normal. You're a kid. You try stuff out.
Yeah.
We went. We downloaded the contract, the safe computing stuff.
Good.
We made him sign it. Problem solved.
Well, guess what, Leo? We now have our first project, not for your 13-year-old, but for you. We just published the Senior's Guide to Online Safety. Hey, Leo, I know when you're born. You know how I know when you're born? Watch this. Alexa, how old is Leo Laporte?
Oh, dear. She's a lying, lying black cylinder.
She's not answering. She's not answering.
No, it's public knowledge. I'm not hiding it.
No, but anyway.
When did I become a senior? 59?
I got my AARP card when I was 50, but I felt outed at the time. I thought that was horrible. But anyway, we decided, you know, that we'd look at the other age side of the age spectrum and give advice for seniors. It's actually pretty much the same advice we give to kids, ironically, or not surprisingly, I suppose. You know, strong passwords and watch out for scams. If the IRS calls, it's really not the IRS.
Oh, man, that is a big problem right now. Lots of people getting IRS calls.
People fall for that.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, the phishing. But the interesting part, I did a little research, and this, you're looking at it right now, meeting new friends and romantic partners. A lot of seniors date online, and they're likely, more likely, I think, than younger people to get scammed by somebody who's younger, appears to be younger, probably not even the same gender or anything, but you know, there's all these dating scams out there that seniors have fallen for. So we did this. You can get it at ConnectSafely.org. There's a link to it at the front page. And if you're, it's also good if you're caring. Like I have a 94-year-old mother-in-law who I care for. I mean, I don't physically care for her, but I manage her finances and handle things for her. And it's good advice for people in that situation as well.
I think a lot of us are supporting parents who are in the tech world and need a little bit of help. I got wait a minute. I have a call's coming in. Hold on a second. Can you hear the audio from my phone, Karsten?
And the purpose of this call is.
Wait a minute. Let me start it over again because I want to make sure that.
I think it's an important call.
This call is officially a final notice from the IRS. The nature and the purpose of this call is to inform you that we have received legal petition notice concerning a tax fraud against you.
Oh, no!
That's you're in trouble, Leo.
That's one of the... This is Joanne Stern wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal in June about robocall complaints in the first half of the year. Look at the growth. 1.5 million almost complaints to the FTC this year. And that's people complaining. Mm-hmm. And what's great is she supplied some audio examples of robocalls. Here's one.
Hello, this is Rachel at Cardholder Services, calling in reference to your current credit card account.
Hi, Rachel.
There are no problems currently with your account.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Rachel seems so nice.
She
seems
sweet,
Rachel.
Doesn't she?
Doesn't she? Yeah, I'd buy something from Rachel.
Why do people still answer their phones?
I know. Some people have to. I agree with you.
I mean, I haven't answered my phone in
years. Me neither, because most of the calls are like this.
Hi, this is Josh from the customer service department. Can you hear me okay?
No, Josh, sure. I can't hear a thing.
Okay, great. You have been pre-selected to receive a vacation of one of our all-inclusive promotions, which includes Disney tickets for free. It covers all your accommodations and all your food and drinks for up to 2 guests.
I like how they pretend this is a real
I know
person.
You're going to have a lot of questions, so I'll briefly go over a couple of highlights first, is valued $100. Just
there's one.
So, Leo, the trip you're going on, you got that way, right? That's how you got your trip? That you guys
That's how I got my trip, right. That's I'm expecting. I can't wait. They said they'd be waiting at the dock.
I'll bet.
Yeah, those tickets will be waiting for us at the dock.
But seriously, if you don't know who's calling, why would you answer your phone?
Well, sometimes you have to.
Well, one of the scams is that they spoof your area code, right?
Right.
So a lot of people would get calls from clients or schools or where they may not recognize the number, but they say, well, it's a local number. Hmm. That can't be a scammer. It is. Yeah. I was driving the other day. We were driving the Niners game on Monday, and I got a call. Hello, this is Josh calling from Microsoft.
Yeah,
you are infected. We see a lot of activity coming from your computer. Are you in front of your computer right now? And I could have messed with him, but I just said, "Shame on you! You should be ashamed." What would your mother say if she knew you were calling people and scamming him? He hung up on me. I thought if everybody did that, maybe he'd feel really guilty.
I actually had a conversation with a guy who did that and was in the Philippines, and he said, "Well, can you give me a job?" And I said, you know, I said, I started, look, I'm pretty tech savvy. And I'm in Silicon Valley.
But that's
Valley.
The thing. That's why I don't judge them. They're out of work. Yeah. Many of them are tech support people, and they're trying to hold their family together. And so I understand that.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's sad.
But don't fall for it.
Right.
Unfortunately, most of the people that watch your show wouldn't be one of the people that would fall for that. But like my mom or, a lot of people, they're not that tech savvy, and they're really scary and very forceful when they're calling you up.
That's right.
And it sounds very official. And so we need to be talking
about
that.
And that's where we're at this guide. One of the things we say in the guide is to don't feel bad if it happens to you.
Right.
Because smart people. The other thing we would point out, by the way, is that just because somebody's old doesn't mean they're not tech savvy. So, for example, I got a call from this company that had this cell phone that was easy enough for seniors to operate. And I said, who do you think invented the cell phone? I mean, you think it was invented by people who are now really old. So don't patronize folks with gray hair like mine. We may know a thing
or two. There's all kinds. And I find many kids don't know how to use cell phones.
That's true, too. That is actually true. A lot of kids are kind of dumb when it comes to tech. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break and come back. Great panel. Also, Phil Libin is here. Is it Libin or Libin? I always ask you this.
It's
Libin. I get it wrong every time.
You've been doing it right the whole time.
Libin. Former CEO and a really great guy at Evernote, did so much work for them, but yesterday got off the board. Now I could be on the show. That's how fast it happens. Managing director at General Catalyst, which is a Silicon Valley VC firm. I want to ask a little bit about VC in a little bit. Also, my favorite person from Toronto, well, you and Renee Ritchie, actually. actually, Montreal, I should say. Georgia Dow of iMore.com. Did you come down with Serenity and Renee for the Apple event or stay up? You stayed in Montreal.
No, I didn't. I actually went to a Fireside conference. So I was speaking during the event, but it was amazing. It was a lot of fun. So I'm happy I got to do it.
And you got to try Serenity's AirPods or Renee's AirPods or something?
Renee's AirPods. Renee's AirPods. I got to try them out and I got to try out the 7 Plus till I get mine. And so, it was really nice.
Kind of jealous. I'm very interested in those AirPods. But we'll find out next month.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing him.
I don't expect a lot from the first generation, but I think it's a finger pointing in the direction that Apple wants to go.
They're only $169.
They're better than you'd expect. They fit better in your ears. I shook my head around to try to see if they would fall out. That was my fear. And they sound fabulous, like really, really nice. So I think that you'll be excited to try them.
All right. I will reserve judgment. Our show is brought to you today by Stamps.com. If you do mailing of any kind at all, maybe you sell on eBay or Etsy, or maybe you sell through Amazon. If you have to do fulfillment or in your business, if you send out invoices or brochures, you've got to know about Stamps.com. Because if you're still going to the post office and either buying stamps or getting, this is so sad. I go to the post office once in a while because we have a post office box. I don't have to buy stamps anymore. I got Stamps.com. But I see people waiting in line with their giant Pitney Bowes machine.
Still making
really? Really? You still doing that? It's like, come on. Don't you know about Stamps.com? Stamps.com does everything you can do at the post office from your desk. You could buy U.S. postage at Stamps.com. You could print it with you don't need a postage meter or special ink or anything. You could print it from your printer with your computer. You can do all the mailing and shipping you do there. We're going to even get you a USB scale so you get exactly the right postage every time. You also get all the forms filled out for you. See, this is really cool. So if you sell on eBay or Etsy or whatever, it will actually pull the address that you're sending to from the website. It will recommend the kind of mail. If it's a book, they'll say, well, this should be media mail, and it'll print out the right exact postage, the right exact sticker to put on there. You could print right on the envelope if you're just mailing paper. And it'll print your logo on there and a return address automatically. This post office loves Stamps.com, by the way. It saves them time and money because it has that little barcode or QR code right on the stamp so they can machine read it. So you get benefits from the post office right away that you're using Stamps.com. For instance, there's a rule since 9/11 that if you're going to mail anything more than I think it's a pound, you have to bring it to the post office for inspection unless you use Stamps.com. Then the mail carrier comes to you. They'll pick it up. They will fill out all the international customs forms automatically. They'll fill out certified mail forms. They'll give you the cost for everything ahead of time before you buy. It really is the right way to do fulfillment. If you're not using it, you got to try it. We've got a great special offer for you. It's a 4-week trial of Stamps.com, but you also get more. You get $110 in bonuses, including that USB scale. You get $55 in free postage that you can use, not right away, but you have to spread it out over the first few months of your account. But that's a big savings right there. And, of course, you get a stamps.com. So give it a try. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone. It's in the top right-hand corner. Type in TWIT, and you'll get that special $110 bonus offer. We use it here all the time at stamps.com. Click the microphone, and the offer code is TWIT, TWIT. Has anybody played with the new iMessages? Isn't that fun?
It is fun.
It's kind of embarrassingly fun.
It's really interesting. Already very annoying in some threads that I'm in, but I'm optimistic that as people, you know, get it out of their system, it'll kind of settle into something that's actually fun and useful.
Words with friends in messages with my mom. That's kind of cool.
The whole idea of like bringing the game into the message thread instead of the other way around is a big idea.
Yeah, a lot of apps. So it's the only thing is because there's so much, there's a complicated user interface. If you go into messages, you press the right arrow, then you press the app store, you'll see what you already have. But also there's a little four dot.
And there's a lot you've
and
got.
I bought a lot of this is the stuff I already have. By the way, if you have Evernote installed, it'll automatically add Evernote to the messages. It'll add words with
Evernote's got a really nice iMessage extension. Easiest way to just message any
so these are my
someone.
Notes, so I could send them notes out of my Evernote. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yep.
It also has a, if you press plus, it has a very kind of mind-bogglingly large store. So a lot of people have said, oh, you know, this is just a copy of Facebook Messenger or Line or WhatsApp. But because it's Apple, man, the developers have jumped on this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look at the categories. And then, of course, it's fun to see. The number one moneymaker is Disney. They charge $1.99 for Disney stickers, and apparently they're getting it. Here's for 99 cents. I like this one. Mike Elgin told me about this. It's called Grammar Snob. You can red pencil people's bad grammar.
I've got
messages.
That one, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's horrible. Don't do that to me.
I'm sorry. It's supposed to be Y-O-U apostrophe, R-E. And it looks like you actually wrote that. It's red pencil. Love that. you got a favorite, Georgia, that you like from this?
I love everything. I love balloons. I love lasers. I love drawing things.
Yeah.
It's just right now it's still new and fun. I'm sure that I'll hit the point where I feel kind of annoyed with it. But right now I enjoy it. I still send Bitmoji though too. So that hasn't gotten old for me either.
I like cat paint. You could take any picture and add a lot of cats to it. So I took a picture of Lisa and I just put a bunch of cats because she's a little bit cat crazy, like coming out of her purse, a little kitty arm, cats lying next to her. And man, that went over really well. So I'm just saying, get cat paint.
Cat paint.
I'm writing it down. Cat paint.
You can add cats. You know, what picture isn't better with cats? I think that's an interesting thing that Apple's really gone all in on. And what I really find amazing is how quickly the developer community said, oh, we'll do this.
Well, conversational UX is the next really major development for how we interact with technology.
Was it a lot of work for Evernote? Do you know to support this or just kind of comes with the territory?
I don't know this. I don't know the exact details. My guess is doing anything well is a lot of work, right. Even the simple stuff.
Right. Well, just figuring out, for instance, what a note-taking app would mean in a messaging app.
Yeah.
What would be the context?
The conversational paradigm is a really big deal. You see it in bots. You see it in the iMessage extensions. Like, this is how the world is going.
Right.
Away from kind of a monolithic app and towards everything happening in line with an existing conversation.
Right, right. You can't search for butt or huge, though. You said
they could have searched. Yeah, they fixed the butt part.
Larry, clearly are 13-year-old boys because we both snorted when I said that.
Right, right. wasn't there a problem with the butt with bringing up porn?
Yeah,
and they fixed that.
Yeah,
right?
For instance, Deadspin said if you search for butt, you get a highly sexualized My Little Pony GIF.
Right,
which exactly. I don't even know what that could be. And a woman emailed The Verge that her 8-year-old daughter trying to send a message to her dad was presented with a very explicit image. Mm. She had just searched for the word huge. You can imagine what she found. So they've fixed this. She said, I grabbed the word from the phone from her immediately. She typed in the word huge. That's not sexual. It's just a word.
Right.
It's not even like but.
One of Donald Trump's favorite words, actually.
Huge.
That's spelled with a Y. Though.
That's spelled with a Y. If she'd spelled it with a Y, maybe okay. I don't know. Actually, what would you get? I don't know. Anyway, so Apple reasonably is banning but. apparently, you can't search for huge anymore either, which I don't know. The search feature is powered by Bing, so you could blame Microsoft for all of this. Anyway, just thought this would really give you a chance to try other words. I do love that, though. When searching, I do that all the time. I used to do that in the Facebook Messenger all the time.
Yeah.
To search for the right GIF, you just type a word you want.
Yeah, we do that in Giphy a lot.
It's, yeah. It's awesome. It's G-I-P-H-Y, Giphy. Yeah. Hisses and buzzes in the iPhone. Do we care? What is that all about? iMore, of course, had the story because, well, it's iMore. Rene Ritchie's on top of everything.
He is.
He says it's not Hissgate. Apparently, some people are reporting a hiss from their iPhone 7 when they really get it working hard.
And or hold it next to a snake.
Yeah.
Or they search for snake in iMessage.
He says it's not unusual for devices to make noise when they pull more power. I would be willing. Are you? I'm going to try a wild guess here. But as the phone heats up, remember, it's got this seals and this equalizing baffle. I bet the hissing's coming out of that old headphone port right there as it equalizes the pressure as it gets hotter inside. My guess. Anyway, I haven't heard it. And apparently it's not unusual. According to Renee, it's not unusual. Although I think he says, and I think he's right, since the Galaxy Note debacle,
right,
people are always worried about anything happening. Unusual sounds coming from there.
Yeah, things hiss. Yeah.
Things hiss. Hiss happens.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Don't. In other words, don't worry about the hiss. We were talking about iOS 10 and its adoption. It's interesting to compare the adoption of iOS 10 to the adoption of Android.
Oh, my
updates.
God. Not even close.
It is. It's really amazing.
Yeah. What's iOS 10 adoption up to?
In the first 24 hours, it was 14%.
By
now,
amazing.
It's probably half.
Yeah.
And that's very typical in the Apple world.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the reasons, of course, is that Apple enables everyone to upgrade on day one, whereas in the Android world, it depends on your carrier, depends on your handset. Even if you wanted to upgrade, you may not be able to. And
Absolutely.
Much easier in the Apple world.
I don't think it's a knock on Android. It's just a good thing to understand, and it's one of the reasons that security on Android is a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's not Google's fault. Manufacturers and carriers don't like to update phones. They want you to buy a new phone. But if you look at it, Marshmallow, the latest but one version, current version is Nougat, which doesn't even show up on this chart, by the way, because only a couple of phones have it. Marshmallow's 18. You want your phone, don't you? I'm sorry. I have to interrupt now because Josh can't live without his jet black.
I was going to wait.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
It is.
It's beautiful. Thank you, Joshua. Josh,
Winters. Don't scratch it.
Just scratch it already,
oh, I dropped
Josh.
It.
It's going to happen. Just scratch it already. Get it over with.
We did the same thing with this. He got a brand new Honda.
Yeah.
And he said, and then he got a scratch, and he was devastated.
Now
he doesn't care.
But now he can drive. Now he can drive the Honda.
Exactly.
Just get it done, then you can put the phone in your pocket.
I offered to put my plastic case on it. He wouldn't let me put it on there. He said, you go scratch it.
You don't buy the Vader Black phone and then put a case on it.
One does not just buy the Vader Black phone.
No one knows that you bought that no one can look at you lustfully about your phone.
That's why I buy clear cases, see?
Well, not only that, you can't even tell it's an iPhone 7 unless you look at it really carefully.
That's why you buy the jet black, because the only one...
Oh, I see, then they'll know, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly
it. Apple is so smart.
Right.
That's why when I had to buy a gold iPhone 7, I was so humiliated, because this isn't even last year's color. This is 2014's color.
Oh, how awful.
Horrible. Shameful.
You're not even my friend anymore. That's it. We're over.
And yet you bought the clear case to show it off, so...
No, this is going to be for the jet black one when it comes later.
I see.
Because I did, in fact... this is really a first world problem. I did, in fact, buy both
one so that I'd have one for the shows this weekend that would come on the 16th. And the best I could do was gold, and then the one I really wanted.
When did you order it, Leo?
I was even faster than Phil. I got online. I sat there at midnight refreshing the website, refreshing the Apple Store on the iPad, both. I got on the iPad at 12:08. I made a note of it. I said, mark this time. We're in. And then start the clock. And then I immediately went to iPhone 7 Plus Jet Black, and it said October 4th. Yeah. Immediately.
Yeah.
Wow. So I just tried ordering one just a few minutes ago, and one of the problems I had is I told it I have an AT&T, I want an AT&T phone,
right?
But it wanted to know my account number, and my fear is that it will disable my current phone when the new one ships, and I just want to pop my own SIM card in.
Here's what happens, and I'll tell you because I did the same thing. Yeah. This is to get the phone, I had to actually buy it through AT&T, which further humiliated me. Mm-hmm. So it comes, and I'm going to Europe. I don't want to use AT&T. I have a T-Mobile SIM. I want to use T-Mobile.
Right. Unlocked.
I have a Google Fi phone I'm bringing, and I have a T-Mobile phone. And so this is the AT&T phone. It would not. I thought if I do this before I activate it, I won't tell it. So I put the T-Mobile SIM in and said, So I put the SIM that it came with back in. But what you could do, Larry, is take your old SIM and put it in. Now, what's going to happen is it will deactivate the old phone no matter what.
But I can put it back in my old phone if I want to, right?
Yes.
I have
but you, I think it could go both ways. I don't think it's some magical SIM you're putting in here.
Okay.
So you could it comes with a SIM in it. You could activate it. So I did that. I activated it on my AT&T number. And I wasn't sure this would work. In fact, I was pretty sure it wouldn't work. But I thought, all right, it's activated. Now, let's just put the T-Mobile SIM, see what happens. It worked.
Now, you have a Nexus 5X. Is that the phone you're also bringing? 6P. So you can get the Project Fi on that. Do you have Project Fi?
Yes.
I use that exclusively when I'm overseas.
Yes.
Because it's such a great deal.
It costs the same overseas as it does in the States.
And then when I get home, I put it on pause because I don't need it at home.
Yeah.
Because T-Mobile and Sprint don't work very well where I live. But I just activate it whenever I go overseas. It's
I have
great.
Heard lately, and I don't know, I haven't traveled overseas in a while, but I have heard lately that T-Mobile always offered low speed 2G free plus unlimited international texts and inexpensive 20 cents a minute phone calls. But I've heard from some that lately it's been 3G or better, that you're actually getting a faster speed. So I'm going to bring it. What could possibly go wrong? Should I bring it to Russia, though? That's the question, Phil.
Well,
should I worry?
You should worry, but you should bring it.
You're going to visit Edward Snowden?
That's not a good answer. I should worry, but I should bring it.
You're not going to not bring it. What are you going to do?
Well, I'll bring it.
Leave it on the ship? You know you're going to bring it.
I'll wipe it afterwards, though, right? Or not? Like, if you bring a phone to DEF CON, the general wisdom is you should, or Black Hat, you should wipe it afterwards.
I mean, the general wisdom is wiping it isn't going to...
It's not enough.
Not enough, yeah.
So we're so rude.
Not with a cloth, anyway. Like, that's what Hillary Clinton was doing with her server,
I wiped my phone. Anyway, marshmallow 18.7%, lollipop at about a 35%.
This is what you were saying about the story, right? I think like Apple tells such a good story that people think they know why they should upgrade as soon as it comes out. With Android, you just don't.
And the other difference is what we already mentioned, which is not everybody who has an Android phone even has the option.
But I think this is of eligible, right? Like the Apple.
Oh, is this? This is of eligible?
It should be.
That would be not terrible.
Sure it should be. It maybe not, but it should be.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because I think of Android as a phone that geeks use. I mean, I use Android because I like the flexibility and the geekiness of it. But you would think that a lot of Android people would be tech savvy and would be wanting the latest and greatest.
There's both. I think there is a lot of us, and I include myself, who use it because we like to fuss around and do things. And you have much more flexibility in an Android phone. And then it's also, and I would say this is probably the majority of owners, the cheap phone.
It's a cheap phone.
In many countries, it's the cheap phone.
Yep.
And so there are a lot of people who have phones that can't go past, Froyo or Gingerbread or, Jelly Bean or Kit Kat. I just like
saying. But even in this country, if you buy a phone and it's, even if it's not a cheap phone, you may not be able to upgrade for a while. You have to wait until they get around to it, which can take months or years in some cases.
No, my Galaxy S7 is not yet.
Right.
Nougat. In fact, I don't think I have any Nougat phones except for the Nexus phone.
Nexus, yeah.
I think that for a lot of people, they don't upgrade because they already know how their phone works. They feel comfortable with it. They understand the ecosystem. They understand the user interface. And they don't want to change that. They don't want something to happen. They don't want something that they don't understand. And that causes a lot of people anxiety. And so once you're comfortable with it, they want to keep it that way. I think Apple does a great job of giving you all of these candies and bells and whistles. And, you know, if you haven't upgraded, people that have upgraded are saying, well, this would be sent with lasers, or they sent a heart, but you can't see it. And that makes people say, you know what, I really want to send hearts. I want to be able to do what you can do. And so that increases people saying, you know what, I might have a little bit of anxiety of having to relearn how to use my phone again, or some things may be changed or in a different place. But these cool things make it worth that hump to be able to go over it. And so Apple does a great job of being able to publicize why you want to upgrade.
Plus, as some iPhone users found out last week, there is a risk during an upgrade that something could go wrong.
Yeah,
and there is that ain't broke, don't fix it mentality. And I think about that. I never upgrade, for example, when I'm traveling, because I want to be home or I have backup phones if something goes wrong.
Isn't it the case, though, that the Apple doesn't tell you about the update for a while? So you can find it if you go and look in your settings. But it's usually a week or more after the update's available that Apple will then start giving you a notification.
See, I always upgrade the minute it's available.
So, yeah, so geeks have the ability to go, let's see. Oh, I just read it's out. I was on iMore. Everybody get it. But then most normal people will not update in the first week. And by that time, Apple's fixed any massive problems. And they'll get the notification then. I think Apple actually does that quite well. But partly because they were in a position to completely control the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. When they came out, they held AT&T's feet to the fire. When Verizon wanted an iPhone, they held their feet to the fire. And so they have better deals, frankly, than any Android manufacturer has with the carriers. And they benefit from that. Let's take a break because I want to – we were talking about messages. There is something comparable coming from Google I'm very excited about, and it may be coming soon. But first, a word from GoToMeeting. Be a meeting MVP with GoToMeeting. Step up your meeting game. Take them to the next level. Instead of having a boring old conference call, use GoToMeeting. It's just like a conference call bridge. In fact, you can have an audio-only call. What's nice, though, is you can do it on your phone, but you can also do it on your computer using VoIP with your headsets. It's built into the GoToMeeting software. You could do it on your iPad. You could do it on your iPhone or your Android device. So you've got the audio, but then... And it happens to me all the time. We're on a conference call. I say, well, let me show you. And I have the screen sharing, and I turn that on. And they go, oh, yeah. I have a PowerPoint presentation. Let me show you. Or I'd like to see you. Let's turn on the cameras. And you have HD video. And it's kind of getting more and more like you're meeting in person. And that's what's so great about it. You're on the same page with screen sharing. It's like you're in the same room with HD video. You can pass off presenter duties. It's a great way to collaborate. It's a great way to present. It's just the easiest solution. Once you install GoToMeeting, and you do it free right now if you go to GoToMeeting.com, you can set up a meeting in seconds. There's even an integration into Outlook, Microsoft Outlook. So you send an email. Your client will get an email that says, hey, we're going to have a GoToMeeting 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. When the time comes around, it's in their Outlook calendar now. They get a notification. They click the link. Even if they've never used it or installed it before, 30 seconds later, the software installs. They're ready to go. It's so easy for them. And that's important, too, because if you're presenting to a potential client, if you're pitching somebody, you don't want to make it hard on them. You want to make it a great experience. It is. It invariably is. It's really awesome. One-click recording, built-in audio, toll-free calls is an option. And you can do things like have back-channel chats, which is always fun when somebody's presenting. You can send private links and so forth. It's good. It's the best. GoToMeeting.com. Try it free for 30 days and step up your meeting game. Be a meeting MVP with GoToMeeting. We thank them. They've been one of our best advertisers, supporters since 2005 or 2006 for a long time. We're talking about the week's tech news, an early edition, because it's a getaway day for me. I'm heading out, and I'm a little disappointed because I've been waiting for Google's version of messages, Google Allo. They announced it at WWDC in June, and they said it would be out by the end of summer. Well, when is the end of summer? September 21st.
Soon. September 45th.
It's a funny game sometimes companies will play. Is it calendar summer? Is it Labor Day? Well, it's obviously not Labor Day. Ev Leaks, who's usually pretty good on this, he says it will be out this week. Aloe is going to be very interesting because all the things we were just talking about with Siri in your ear and the messaging platform, Google can do, and I think it intends to do with Aloe, including automatically pull up bits and pieces of apps, even if you don't have it installed. Evernote, for instance, I don't know if they're going to do this, but they could if I don't have Evernote on my Android device. And by the way, it's cross-platform, Android and iOS, which I really like. This is probably an Android-only feature, though. If I don't have Evernote installed, I can ask for something from Evernote, and it will download a little small bit of Evernote, just enough to accomplish that. And then after doing the task, say, and if you want the full app that's available, I think that's great for app developers. That's a chance for them to get some exposure. And it's great for users because it adds capability. Aloe becomes your ombudsman, your middleman, the guy instead of, and this is one problem I had with the chat platform on Facebook, for instance, where, you know, I was interacting directly with the bots. They got annoying after a while. With Aloe, and I suspect Apple's going to do this with messages too, it represents you to the outside world. So you ask Siri or you ask Google Now for something, and it handles, oh, I'll make that reservation for you, or I'll call that Uber for you. We'll see. It's supposedly coming out soon. End-to-end encryption, but you have to turn it on. That was a little controversial, but I think I understand why. Google Assistant built in, and yes, sticker packs. Will they be as good? Apparently, there are some, well, according to this, condoms, butts, and nipples. So if once again, Apple has aced you out of the dirty GIFs, you can get them from Google. I don't know if that's
now true. when you use the assistant features, do you have to turn off the end-to-end encryption?
Yes. And that's exactly why. Otherwise the assistant's it's not encrypted, right? The assistant's listening in, it's not encrypted. And I think that's why Google made it optional and off by default, because they would obviously like to hear as much as possible of what you're saying. And I don't mean this to cast aspersions, it's not like they're spying on you, but that's how they get the functionality.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how they sell your information, so that they make money.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. But when I arrive at the airport, my Android phone will pop up my boarding pass and say, "I see you're at the airport. We got now, this. You this was in
yeah,
Gmail."
But we can,
yeah,
I think
I
that's
can,
a
you
nice
can do
thing.
That with your. I know that's not can, that. Sorry.
That's great. You're an iPhone user. You just don't know. It's a great feature.
So they're going to use your phone number instead of your Google account to identify you.
Right.
And that's probably good for most people. But you and I, Leo, have multiple phones.
Yeah, I don't
right?
like it.
And
no.
I don't know what's going to happen. Does that mean my Google Voice? I do put my Google Voice number on all my phones. I don't know if that's going to work.
Duo does that as well. And it made it a little bit less useful. One of the things that Apple does so well is one person, all one account, all devices, same. Mm-hmm. So
or same you, yeah.
Yeah, same you. So what, for instance...
Well, that's true with Google accounts as well, if it's a Google, it's an actual Google
Yeah, but they're
account.
Not doing that, are they? They're using phones.
Apparently not in this case. No.
So Apple, for instance, if somebody calls me on FaceTime, it rings all my Apple devices. Whichever one's handy is the one I can answer. Google Hangouts used to do that.
I'm guessing you'll be able to associate multiple numbers, but I'm not 100% sure.
You can't with Duo, and that's what's weird about Duo. Duo is tied to that phone number. They can't. So I can't call Larry. I can only call that number.
The same thing with WhatsApp. Also, you have to type in your number.
Yeah.
And I tried my Google Voice number, but it doesn't always work because it can't validate that it's really my number. So, you know, again, there's probably a rare group of people that carry multiple phones around, but I'm always got at least two of them.
Yeah. You know, I guess we're probably a little odd in that respect.
A little odd. Yeah. In many ways, Leo.
Maybe not. I think a lot of people have a work phone and a home phone.
Hillary Clinton?
She has, what, how many, 11 BlackBerries? Right. She had a lot.
Yeah, really.
I'm pretty sure this is something that they're going to fix, if not at launch, then immediately after. Like, it's a very basic thing.
Yeah. Ask Jeff Jarvis. They've said they've been going to fix the Google Apps account, merge that with your personal account for years. And, nothing,
and they're already messing with, or they may be messing with Google Voice. They certainly have... made it hard to have Google Voice and Project Fi at the same time.
It's depressing. I love Voice. I love Fi.
Yeah.
So. Amazon's Dot suddenly dropped in price to $50.
You want to buy one? I've got one in a box. Here, wait a minute.
Well, you don't, using your Dot?
No.
I love my Dot.
Oh, I couldn't get one. Are they back in stock?
Yeah, so before you had to have a Prime account and an Echo, and then you'd say, I want to buy a Dot.
Well, I've got all those, but I
now you can buy
it. Yeah, brand
They're
new.
Selling them in six packs, dude.
I want like six of them.
So here's my problem. I have a brand new one I just bought, but I bought it 45 days ago, so I can't return it.
Oh, that's the old one.
So I paid $90 for this guy, right?
You see,
I haven't even packed it yet. And the new $60 one, or is it $50? I think it's
$60. $49.99.
It's better.
Yeah.
So what do you offer me for this? Nothing, right?
Nothing. You got the wrong Dot.
I'm stuck. No, I have four Echoes now. I love the Echo.
Me too.
You can give it as a gift. It's still a good gift.
You can give it as a gift, right?
Give it to an ignorant person who won't know it's the old Dot.
I'm trying to sell it to an ignorant
Look at this.
Person.
They're saying make it a six pack. This cracks me up. You buy five, you'll get one free.
If you want one in each room, you really do.
Yeah. I've got two Echoes now, and it's the most common thing I use at home.
The only thing that's not good about the multiple Echoes is you can't go from room to room and listen to the same music like you can with Sonos.
That's going to change next year, right?
I hope so.
They say they're going to add Sonos capability.
That'd be great.
Right.
My problem is if you have too many Echoes, they sometimes more than one hears you.
Yep. Exactly.
So the Echo in the kitchen and the Echo in the gym respond to me. And if I set a timer, they both go off. Or one of them says, "What? I don't know. I couldn't hear you." And the other, you're having this like weird three-part conversation with a robot. However.
I really want to put the Echo in my car. I mean, the Dot.
You know, I tried that. I had the portable one. You know, what do they call the one that's not really
the Dot?
The tap. And I actually paired it with my phone.
Yeah.
And so it had Wi-Fi. And it kind of worked, but it kind of didn't work. It wasn't reliable enough.
No, but I want to tie the Dot into the through the audio jack of the
car.
Right, exactly.
So you could talk to the car.
Yeah, and then
the
I just have it permanently wired in with power.
I think so.
The problem is, we have many people who have tried that. Of course, when you turn off the car, it powers down. It has to restart up again, reacquire Wi-Fi, and it goes through that whole thing. So you need a battery. It gets a little complicated after a while.
Well, but the battery, you know, as long as you drive your car, the battery should stay charged up. The car would recharge as you drive.
Yes. No, but as long as the Echo continues, it needs to have continuous power.
Power, right.
Right. And so if you turn off the car and the Echo loses power, that's not good. So you need some sort of backup.
So I have Android Auto in my car, and some of you may have Apple CarPlay, and it kind of gives you the same experience. But not as reliably, I think, as the Echo does. At least, not my experience.
I love it that we've got this race between these companies trying to get better at this. This is a great area to really excel in. Google, of course, has its Hello there. Apparently, the rumor says announcing it on the 4th, which will do a lot of what the Echo does. I think you're going to see on your mantle in your living room, you're going to have four or five of these devices.
It drives me crazy. Sometimes I say, hey, Google, and I should be saying Alexa.
Yeah, right.
I get confused.
Hey, Siri. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
If I just said Alexa and she lit up. Alexa, who is Leo Laporte?
You know that there are people listening on their Echoes right now.
They all have it answering.
Yeah.
The American technology broadcaster and author.
See that? Now help me know how old you are.
That's from Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's how it does it. Anybody in Wikipedia can have that ego gratification. I probably just turn on every Alexa in the world.
we grapple with this all the time because, of course, our audience, unlike other television shows, for instance, our audience, they're all sitting there and going, stop triggering my Echo.
Well, you know, it's funny, Lee. I don't know if you ever think about this, but, I do a daily segment for CBS. And I sometimes take some sort of natural sound. And then in a couple of segments where I wanted to use a siren because it would have worked really well for my segment.
You can't.
It occurred to me, wow.
Yeah.
People are driving. Don't do that.
My radio show is for Clear Channel. And I have to do training because some idiot Clear Channel disc jockey in New Orleans played the emergency alert tones.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And the company had to pay $1 million fine or something.
Wow.
And now every 6 months I have to do training on what not to play on the radio.
They do training on the FCC rulings also about during
Gosh. I have more training. I have to be trained constantly.
Right.
Does he still have a job?
The DJ, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I think probably not. That's a pretty bonehead thing to do. But DJs, they're known for doing that.
There was a guy in San Francisco who decided to tie up the Bay Bridge one day in the morning. Not a good idea. Not a good idea.
Unbelievable.
Don't know why he thought that was a good idea. A little break here, but before I get to the commercial, I think we should see this. This is a short compilation of some of the best moments of the past week on Twit Watch.
Previously on Twit.
I could probably retire now, but I don't plan to because I like what I'm doing. I don't know what I would do with myself.
How quickly would that get boring?
Right. I don't want to be the guy at the bar saying, "Hey, anybody got any tech questions over here?"
Android App Arena.
I've got an awesome guest. You may know him. His name is Ron Richards.
All the games inside Pinball Arcade are actual digitized versions of real pinball machines that are out there in the world.
Nice.
So you've got real pinball players using Pinball Arcade as a tutorial device, which is amazing.
Tech news today.
Want it.
Forrester released a report last month that predicts 6% of jobs will be taken over by bots by 2021. The jobs seeing the biggest impact include those in transportation, logistics, customer and consumer services.
Surely the jobs for people who like to take a news story and use it to cause mass panic, those can never be replaced by a robot. I've cornered the market on that, so.
Twit, making the world safe for technology.
Oh, they did.
That was kind of cool.
They beamed us in.
I didn't know we. Is that part of the new studio feature? That's nice.
You pay extra for that?
Sure we do.
That was fun. That was Frederick Johnson. If you missed this week's new screensavers, we had a great chime with Frederick Van Johnson. What's ahead in the week? I don't care. I'm leaving. But Megan Maroney does, so let's listen.
Thank you, Leo. Here's what's coming up this week. Mac OS Sierra comes out on September 20th. The update is free and includes some fabulous new features, including Siri for the Mac, Apple Pay for websites, and more. Get it. And if you like to add GIFs or even GIFs to your wordy tweets, you're in luck. Our sources say that starting tomorrow, Monday, September 19th, Twitter will stop counting images, video, and other media in its 140-character count. Count limit in tweets. In VR news this week, if you're in the UK or Canada, you will finally be able to pick up an Oculus Rift, even if you didn't pre-order one. Also, Amazon's Fire HD 8 ships this week. It includes Alexa integration, a larger battery, more RAM and storage, and it starts at only $90. And finally, if you were the proud owner of a burning hot Samsung Galaxy Note 7 and you want to get a new one without an explosive battery, replacement devices should be coming out this week. And also this week, Samsung will reportedly begin capping battery charge on the Galaxy Note 7 at 60% with an over-the-air software update. The phones are officially recalled, as you know, so stop using yours, please. And if you're selling them, don't do that. That's illegal. Back to you, Leo.
Oh, that's part of the CPSC recall. You can't sell it anymore.
So, does that mean you don't get as much battery life if it's capped at 60%?
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of a bummer.
Well, why are you still using it? You're not even supposed to turn it on.
When you get the new one and you've got
the new one. This is not for the new one.
This is just for the old one. Okay, that's good. Because I would hate the idea that they did that.
I know.
I want to start the tagline, Galaxy Note 7, grab them while they're hot.
I had one. I loved it. I was very sad, but I was not going to. In fact, I even thought it was safe, but I was not going to bring it.
Well, I was doing two-way for CBS today, when the official recall came out, which I think was Friday morning, which is the same day that Apple released the iPhone 7.
Nice timing, huh?
And so, well, the greatest I could say, you got Samsung Galaxy Note 7s that are exploding and Apple's sales
are exploding. I turned mine in for $850, got myself a brand new iPhone 7. How about that, huh?
Well, there we go. Well, you can check. You can check if you have the exploding, exciting.
They're still saying they want them all.
Yeah.
And who's going to really go, oh, well, it says here it's fine, so I'm just going to keep using it.
I think isn't like 97% of American U.S. Note 7s are within the exploding category.
Really?
Not that they will explode, but they don't. It's not that everyone.
They were made at the. Their batteries were made at the center where.
Exactly.
And there's all this controversy as to what actually is causing the problem.
Well, that's part of the problem is as much as I think Samsung's done a good job on this, they haven't been completely forthcoming as to what the problem is.
Exactly.
Because we first assumed it was just when you charged it was an overcharging problem. That's very common. But apparently some people are saying, no, it's just burst into flames while I was using it.
How many have actually done that, though?
78, not that many. 78, something like that.
How many do you have? Well, how many?
How many do I have? No.
How many? I heard 92 is what they reported in the U.S.
Yeah,
92 now. Okay.
Yeah, but that's what they reported. So who knows?
Well, I think it's accurate. I mean,
but there may be incidents they don't know about.
Come on. If your phone bursts into flame, you're going to tell them. Shh, don't tell Samsung. I want to keep using it.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, I've been known to fall asleep with the phone next to me on the bed.
I know,
could you imagine?
I know. Yeah. Well, I'm going to get on a plane. Every airline now is saying don't bring it on the plane. And I'm going to get on a boat. And I have to charge it. I'm going to be on the boat for a week. I don't want to.
We can throw it overboard in the boat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great.
Well, the fear is if it happens while you're asleep.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or if your child is using your phone, or if it's near something flammable, this is a really big deal.
It's a very big deal.
Now they're saying, and this is the most recent news, that they're going to have new safe Samsung Note 7s in stores by September 21st, by this week.
Amazing.
I don't believe that for a minute.
It's amazing if they can pull that off.
I just find that very hard to believe. Don't they have to get them vetted? Don't they have to say, well, bring them to UL or somewhere and say, okay, see, it doesn't blow up? I mean, I don't think you can just say, no, we fixed it here.
I mean, unless they had a run that was a different process.
Well, they know what it is. They think it's the because for the first time ever, Samsung was making their own batteries. Most of the phones were made with Chinese batteries, as they have in past years. But, again, Samsung hasn't been super forthcoming about all
this. Because at first I heard that it was one of the suppliers was at fault.
It was Samsung's own affiliate, right?
But not all batteries came from that affiliate.
No. In fact, that's why I could have... My phone was made in China.
60-70% of their batteries did, though. Right. So.
But any phone made in China, apparently... Don't quote me on this. But according to the Wall Street Journal, they said any phone made in China had the Chinese battery. Those were safe. Most of the T-Mobile phones had Chinese batteries. They were safe. Oh. The T-Mobile guy, in fact, told me, well, you know, this is probably okay. And I did say to him, well, is it your advice that I not exchange it? He said, oh, no. You should definitely turn it in. He didn't want to be responsible.
But yours didn't overheat, though, right?
Never.
Yeah, but then the question is, I mean, why are some made in the same factory overheating and others
are not
overheating?
No, we think that it's the ones made with the...
But even if you had one made in that factory, it may not have overheated. I mean, 92 cases out of a million phones is a very small percentage.
Right. In fact, I think Samsung said it was like only 1 in 38,000, 1 in 32,000.
So the question is, what is it about those phones that are causing it versus all the rest that aren't getting hot?
You know, you can blame it on Sally. She forgot, you know, she was a little hungover that day. And she forgot to put in the little thing that checks the temperature.
I mean, really care? Like, why? Like, it's a low occurrence. They recalled the thing.
Right.
You're going to get new phones. Right. They're not going to explode.
Right.
Hopefully.
Like, this is not, like, the most gripping story that's ever happened.
No, and it's happened before.
But
other
companies. It's a pretty good story.
It's a huge story because it really does wreck consumer trust. Right. Like, companies spend billions of dollars to try to build up their brand, that it's safe, it's reliable, it works, it does not explode. Hard to spin exploding as a feature, right? Keep warm at night.
I think it hurts Samsung's brand, doesn't it?
It certainly hurts the brand, and it's an expensive... They reacted to it in a correct...
They handled it properly.
Probably
they didn't have much of a choice. Yeah. You know, they didn't react really quickly.
Well, they reacted as quickly as they could, I would say. They didn't go to the CPSC right away, but they did... say, we'll take them back right away. They said, we'll give you a $25.
I think when you compare this to, like, you know, airbags and cars being kind of malfunctioning for years.
Right.
And
took a long time.
Well, it's true. I have a car. In fact, my car has a malfunctioning airbag, I'm told, but the replacement isn't available yet.
Oh.
And nobody told me I could take my car back to the dealer and get a loaner until the new airbag comes out. I'm still driving this thing.
Right.
So,
This was handled as well as could be, I think, handled. It's just. It's hard. I think it's hard on the company, and I think it's a lot of money. And
well, that's the other thing.
They rushed. They rushed to get the phone out.
Is that why you think they were trying to beat Apple?
They're trying to beat Apple to the punch, and so they probably did. They cut where they could. They couldn't cut in.
Right.
They probably cut a little bit, tried to rush manufacturing. People are probably working extra hours, a little bit more tired. And then they didn't have the same amount of time that they would have in order to test the phone. So, yeah, probably some of them kind of went underneath the radar.
Will people buy Note 7s now?
Or will people buy an iPhone 7 Plus instead of a Note 7? Will people actually go out and buy a different phone?
I did.
I don't think that for most people they will. You're comfortable with an ecosystem. You're probably going to stay in the ecosystem. It's really hard to change to a completely different device. Right. I think that if you're new to a cell phone or thinking of switching, this may be that defining factor.
Right.
But in another month or two, people are attention spans unfortunately, are really short. And this will no longer be a story. There'll be some other interesting scandal that we'll be covering. And so people will go back to their phones and be happy with
them. It's barely a scandal now, or not at all.
It's not a scandal.
Right. And it's barely a story now. Of course, it's not going to be a story in 2 months.
Right.
You know, they did the right thing. They recalled them.
I bet you, though, they don't sell many Note 7s going forward. There'll be the new Google phones come out on October 4th. I think this will benefit Google as much as it benefits
Apple.
It's
definitely a big hit to the current product line and to the current brand. Yeah. Like, they made a mistake, and now they're paying for it. But I think I don't think there's anything like unvirtuous in how
they're doing it. It's a huge company, and they can absorb it. Yeah.
That's exactly my point. They can handle it. Right. If it were a smaller company, I would worry about them dying as a result of this.
For BlackBerry, this would be it. It'd be all over.
Oh, of course.
All over anyway. BlackBerry goes under because of the Note 7. That's all. That's the story. Our show today brought to you by Squarespace, the place to make your most beautiful site ever, but not only beautiful, but beautifully engineered, whether it's a portfolio or a blog or you're selling, because every Squarespace site comes with commerce. It's hosting plus the software, and they work so tightly together, you get a really virtuous circle here. So, for instance, one of the reasons Squarespace sites never go down is because the software will automatically spin up new instances whenever their bandwidth, you know, when they see a lot of traffic, and so they can handle giant jumps in traffic that no other hosting company can handle. They also have really smart engineers, so the designs, and I think Squarespace is famous for just the beautiful designs on their templates. They look great, but under the hood, everything's mobile responsive. So it looks, in fact, when you upload an image to your Squarespace site, the software automatically makes 9 different versions of the image for any possible size screen. That every screen, it looks great as they resize perfectly. The e-commerce is one of the few places where the e-commerce kind of matches the look of the site. It's not a separate shopping cart just hanging off the side of it. So you can create, manage, and brand your store in a beautiful way. They now, by the way, support your merchant card. They support payments. They help you with shipping. They have analytics for commerce. You can see the traffic of visitors in real time. You can see abandoned checkouts, device filtering. So you know, we sold twice as many to iPhone users. It's really a great platform. If you're interested in creating a page that's like a news page, they have these great magazine templates now, with grid style landing pages, so you can. This is all the rage. You see this in The Verge and Yahoo Tech, for instance. Browse through all the posts in one place with infinite scroll. You can have related posts if you want at the bottom that lets gets your users to read more. Author profiles, integrated search in the header, so they can find stuff. This is really stuff that if you were to go to a designer and an engineering team, would cost an awful lot of money. I know, I've done it. You get it all very affordably as part of your Squarespace subscription. By the way, if you've created 3 or more active Squarespace websites, you now can join the Squarespace Circle, which gives you advanced guides and optimized support and longer trial periods for new projects, up to 6 months. That is awesome. Squarespace has also added domain names. They sell domain names. You'll get a free one with an annual purchase. They've always done that. But you can also go there to buy one of over 200 TLDs, of course, .com, .net, .org, but some of the wild, wacky ones, .biz and so forth, from Squarespace domains. And this is a really nice feature. They'll give you a clean, spam-free parking page until you're ready to start building that site. That is sweet. Squarespace, I want you to go right now. Join the million Squarespace customers who get the best hosting, the best software, at the best price, with e-commerce, with mobile responsive design. Make sure, though, if you decide, after your free trial, if you decide to buy, use the offer code TWIT. Do me a favor, use the offer code TWIT. You'll do yourself a favor, too. You get 10% off. Squarespace.com. Here's the thank you to the chat room. Here's the DJ, Bobby Bones. I guess he's a well-known syndicated country show. In 2014, he broadcast the EAS signals and cost his company, my company, $1 million in fines.
They could have given you a raise.
He's still working.
He's still working. They liked him.
He's a star. And you know what? If you're a star DJ, you can do it. It is now the biggest country music show ever.
Well, maybe the publicity was good for him. Everyone knows his name now.
Bobby Bones. Who doesn't? Who doesn't know Bobby Bones?
Maybe the emergency tone sounded better than the music.
You don't like country music?
No,
Nothing.
Not a fan
that.
Of the twang, the torch and the twang.
And no, I'm just really fond of test tones. Just like the fax machine recordings.
2 million people watched football on Twitter on Thursday night.
That's amazing to me.
Blows me away. I thought, why is Twitter streaming football? Now, it wasn't all at the same time, 2 million. You know, that was spread out over the game. But still, that's a surprising number of people watching football on Twitter. Did anybody?
I can only think
that?
Of people that are at work or have to be doing something else or having a family meal, and so they're sneaking their phone underneath the table so they can watch without anyone knowing that they're watching. That's the only reason I can see that people would be watching it on Twitter.
The average count was 243,000 at any given time. Mm. 2.3 million. Okay, now wait a minute, though. The average watched 22 minutes, but 2.3 million watched at least 3 seconds.
Oh, come on.
I don't know if that counts. That's when you didn't know it was football.
What's this? Oh, moving on.
Three seconds is the longest I've ever watched football.
I think the idea
you might have been counted in the numbers.
Yeah, you were. The idea is that football, it's fun to watch with the community. I mean, that's one of the things Twitter's kind of cool is a lot of people. I mean, for a long time, I would only watch the Academy Awards with the Twitter stream running, the snark running in the background. Can't do it in the West Coast with some of the other award shows because they're not live. But with the Oscars, you could do it. So I think that's
because
Twitter's
the Oscars
idea.
Are kind of dull without, you know, I like
actually,
the banter.
You're right.
I like it during political debates.
Or Ricky Gervais, if he's doing anything, I'll watch. But I just watch his clips.
Right.
I remember the presidential debate, the first one between Romney and Obama, and I'm watching it thinking Obama's blowing it. And I kind of felt that, right? But when I went on Twitter, it confirmed, because all my friends, many of whom are Obama supporters and some aren't, confirmed that he was blowing it. It was kind of a nice validation to realize that I was observing this the way other people were.
Things have changed in 4 years, my friend. I think
it's interesting, though. Because that can actually change public opinion.
Absolutely.
We can actually change the way people feel about something just by having enough of a group that say differently than your own opinion. Slowly your opinion will sway because of that, you know, group tribalism that you want to be part of.
I bet you some people are thinking about that with the debates coming up. I mean, because if you can move a small public opinion in a presidential election as close as this one is, it can actually have a difference. I realize
which candidate
don't live in our country.
Of the two major candidates, or actually of all four candidates, which one uses Twitter best?
Oh.
It's obvious.
Best or most?
Best or most.
Well, certainly.
What does best
Trump
mean?
Uses it
well, he's
extensively.
He's very effective on Twitter. Yep. He's the Twitter candidate.
He is.
I mean, I know Hillary does tweet, but I mean, they're just bland tweets, you know, normal campaign tweets.
Right.
I don't know if Jill Stein tweets. I'm sure she does. I don't know if Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, tweets. I'm sure he does. But who's the master of Twitter?
Yeah.
I would say arguably of all Twitter, not just political tweets, but of all Twitter.
Yep. That's possible.
You could
see, you might even follow with you.
You might even say he was some ways created by Twitter.
11.6 million followers. That's amazing. That's more people than watch most television shows at any given time. Right.
Doesn't mean that's 11.6 million fans or people.
No, they don't
know.
I follow them. I follow all the candidates.
It's the most interesting feed on Twitter.
Absolutely.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Today, I didn't know that. He said today, happy birthday to the United States Air Force. I wouldn't have known that if it weren't for Donald Trump.
You see, it's educational.
Yeah.
It's educational. And I guess Twitter now is on Apple TV as well. So you could.
I actually just got the Apple TV update.
What does that look like?
It's a pretty decent, you know, sit back on your couch experience.
Is it the whole screen is Twitter, or is it like a sidebar?
It's the whole screen, but they're really trying to optimize the media, the watching.
I guess with Apple TV, you couldn't be an inset.
Yeah.
You have to take over. On the Xbox, I can, for instance, watch the NFL and have my fantasy stats on a sidebar. I wish, and I think you might be able to do that with Twitter. That's what they should be able to do. That would be interesting. You're watching a show and you're seeing the Twitter feed. That's kind of what you did, Larry, right? You had your tablet or your laptop open.
I just keep my laptop or my phone, whatever, and I'm watching events that I want to get opinions on.
Right.
I think it's probably better on a second screen, though.
Yeah.
Like you're better off having the feed on your phone or your tablet while you're watching on TV, so you can kind of control what you want to pay attention to when, instead of having things scroll by
right as part of the
main content. Thing is, if I watch the show with my wife, who does not want to know what my Twitter friends think, she just wants to watch the show, it would be very annoying if the feed were on the television set. So I, it's kind of my private little thing on my phone or my computer, and she watches the TV.
Yeah, it would be distracting.
Facebook,
having someone trash your favorite character.
Facebook also, you know, very much wants to be that go-to social site that you have side by side. It has never really, I think, in my mind anyway, taken the place of Twitter in that regard. They're gathering debate questions. We've got a debate coming up. And I'm not sure if these questions will be used in the debate or not. They were in past the Republican debates, right?
But they had official deals with the networks. Yeah. They were partners.
They were so dopey. They did the same thing with YouTube. You know, they got now a question from YouTube. Why do you part your hair on the left? I mean, I really felt like this was really not a good idea. But I guess it maybe made people feel like they were part of the process or something. I don't know. Facebook's vice president of product management says newsfeed curates, interesting choice of word, 2,000 stories a day for users. We make them for you, but only 10% of them are actually read.
Mm-hmm. I never even notice it. I know they're up there on the right-hand side, but I'm not looking for them. And
is this the trending stories? Attention. Is that what this is?
Or the trending stories, maybe. Oh, the newsfeed stories.
Newsfeed is different, yeah.
You're in the middle.
Yeah. The trending one is the automated one.
Right, that's the one I pay no attention to.
Yeah, because who cares? Yeah. On the listen to this. On average, people in the U.S. spend 45 minutes a day on the Facebook newsfeed.
Wow.
Slowly and steadily over time, people are spending more time reading more, liking more, and commenting more. So people are, you know, that's what Facebook's trying to do, increase engagement with that newsfeed. And they're doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the thing about Facebook is it's for everyone. It's not just for geeks or political junkies or people who are intensely interested in a particular topic like Twitter is. You know, there's just, it seems like everybody I know is on Facebook.
It's different from what I originally thought Facebook was going to be. Just I'm going to go see pictures of my family and friends and their kids and stuff like that. And I really thought that's what it was going to be. And then gradually it just became kind of this hodgepodge of stuff I'm going to, and I think this is what Facebook's trying to do, of stuff I might be interested in, and they algorithmically tune it to make it stuff I'd be interested in, so I spend more time reading it. Mm-hmm. So it's a mix of everything, right? It's like a little cocktail party on wheels or something.
They've managed to do a bunch of things pretty well.
Yeah.
Really reinvent themselves a few times, stay relevant, better than Twitter's been able to do.
Much more nimble.
I mean, Snapchat's the real kind of surprise thing, right, that came out of almost nowhere.
The funny thing about Snapchat is since it's so personal, you don't see it, right? You don't know what's going on in Snapchat.
Yeah, which is kind of part of the brilliance, right? Because like you have followers, but you're not really sure
who's seeing it?
Yeah,
you or
like
what?
You're not really sure how many followers people have.
Right.
But I really think the stories on Snapchat are pretty great. Like I'm impressed with how the news organizations, the brands, how they've really taken to making stories and
that
moments
Discovered
well.
Channel has been huge for Snapchat.
It's like non-trivially good.
Do you think Instagram's attempt to copy it has paid off or
not yet? But we'll see how that goes. I think it's not a bad idea for them to pursue it because it's been so successful for Snapchat. So,
feds are, according to Wired magazine, soon will be able to legally hack you. Anybody.
Oh, great.
Yeah, nice.
It's probably not hacking if it's legal.
Well, you tell me if it's hacking. The Justice Department is planning a vast expansion of government tools. Under a new set of rules, the FBI would have the authority to secretly... Now, you tell me if this is hacking.
Okay.
Secretly use malware to access thousands of or hundreds of thousands of computers belonging to innocent third parties, even crime victims. This would be legal, according to Rule 41 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. The government could hack a million computers or more with one warrant.
Oh, great.
Now,
I don't see anything that could go wrong there.
What could possibly go wrong?
It doesn't
and
seem
could they
great.
Use that information against you if they, you know, manage to find out you're doing something illegal?
This is what they say. They need this power to investigate a network of devices infected with malware and controlled by a criminal. But, you know, many of us, well, not me, but many of you, your computers are, without your knowledge, occupied by malware, which allows a bad guy to use you against other systems with DDoS attacks as a botnet. So apparently they're asking for permission to examine your computer to see if you have a bot on it. How do you feel
about
that?
And I'm sure that they won't use anything else that's on your computer against you if they so happen to find it.
You know, I don't think the snark is the right way to handle this. I think they need to be able to combat botnets. And it's obviously pretty dangerous to expand this authority. But we should have pretty hardcore rules about what they can and can't do, who sees it, who doesn't, what are the rules for evidence gathering. Like, this is a real thing that we need to confront.
If Congress doesn't weigh in December 1st, this new rule goes into effect. Seems unlikely Congress is going to do anything. I do understand why the FBI would love to be able to be proactive in fighting these botnets. We'd all like them to succeed in this. This is massive
just like
problem.
By definition of what a botnet is, you right. have to be able to say, like, here's a million computers infected with it. We need to do something.
Why do we need the FBI? I just got a call from India the other day telling me that my computer was infected. Actually, they were from Microsoft.
I'm gonna put myself in the shoes of a federal law enforcement agent. Somebody's very sophisticated about technology. We would like, let's say what we would like to do is create a, I'm not going to call it malware. That's Wired's term. I'm going to create a tool that automatically spreads throughout the internet. It looks at your computer and examines it for a bot. If it finds one, it does some forensics to figure out who the bot's contacting, what the bot's up to, and then deletes the bot and moves on. Would that be okay?
It would be okay with me as long as it asked me for permission in advance.
No, it can't ask you permission in advance.
If I'm a victim of a botnet, if I'm a potential victim, I'm just average Joe citizen, I might want the government to help me keep bots out of my computer.
It's not going to know. I mean, if it needs to ask you for permission in advance before it can look or before it does anything.
Well, what I'm saying is I would be willing to allow some trusted authority that I trusted.
Yeah.
If the government qualifies to help me keep bots out of my computer, that's what I want to do. Just like I don't want criminals prowling around my backyard. Yeah. I mean, that would be a good thing.
Congress doesn't have the technical knowledge in order to make these decisions so that they're actually protecting the privacy of the people that are going to be having this. In comparison to if a company, say Apple, said, listen, we would like to systematically every once in a while check your computer to make sure that you do not have any malware on it, I would have a completely different opinion on this. Mm-hmm. But because we know that any government will want to have more power in order to protect you, but then that power could be used against the same people that they're hoping to protect, and then to control the way that people vote, sway public opinion, and also be able to monitor, which we already know that they are doing at a vast expanse of place in a very enclosed kind of way without our knowledge. I think that they've already set the precedent of not being able to have the public feel comfortable and trusted.
Well, like now, does this change your opinion if I tell you that this article I'm reading from Wired, this opinion piece, was written in part by Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon? He is he's very much a member of Congress. He's actually one of the smartest in terms of technology. He serves in the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He's worried about this and
it does change my opinion.
Believes that Congress is not going to act on this. Also, Matt Blaze, who's a professor of computer information science at the University of Pennsylvania, and Susan Landau of the Worcester Polytechnic Institute, where she also teaches cybersecurity policy. So these three people are pretty serious about all of this. They're very concerned. They also say the FBI's statements to date don't inspire confidence that it knows what it's doing. One FBI special agent testified that a tool was safe because he had tested it on his home computer and it, quote, did not make any changes to the security settings on my computer, end quote.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's not enough. On the other hand, I do think I agree with you, Phil, in appropriately giving them the tools to do this kind of thing. Yeah. With appropriate privacy guards is not a bad thing, but
believe that they are not violating their own privacy policies and standards, and that was part of the problem with the whole metadata issue.
Well, they really want to do this, and I wonder why they really want to do this. Right? There's lots of things they could do with it.
I mean, I think it'd be useful to think about how would you be comfortable with the situation being handled?
Right.
It's easy to say we don't trust the FBI, and I don't particularly trust them by default either.
You shouldn't.
But how? Exactly. That's you're not supposed to.
Right.
The government goes through our stuff every time we get on an airplane. And if, by the way, you had marijuana on your in your bag and they found that, they would arrest you.
And we
Different because you've gone out in public and you've given permission. No, same thing as driving. You right. are using these public transportation systems, and part of the deal is you agree to give up some rights to use them. You're in your own home now using your own computer.
You're connecting to the internet, which is a quasi-public
reason you're going through a metal, you're getting inspected when you get on the plane, is to make sure you don't have a weapon on board. It's not to make sure you don't have some other illegal substance that may or may not be dangerous.
A weapon.
Okay, connecting an infected computer to the internet is endangering other people.
I understand, but they broaden the search.
Let's say discover something else.
Stuff. Yeah.
Right. And it could be something like terrorism, which is a horrible, dangerous crime. But still, would they be able to act on
that? There does have to be a limit on any fishing expeditions, obviously. Right. And the Supreme Court has ruled on things like this. In fact, there's quite a famous ruling involving police officers investigating reports of a bullet being shot through a wall, seeing stolen stereo equipment, looking at the serial numbers and arresting the perpetrator, and it was thrown out by the Supreme Court because they said you were there to investigate the bullet, not check the serial numbers on the home stereos. You exceeded your authority.
Did they see the stereo through the bullet hole?
No, they actually went into the guy's apartment and said, "Did you shoot a gun? And by the way, where'd you get that stereo system?" Right? And I'm, this is an interesting balance. Hey, we got to take a break because I have to get out of here pretty soon.
Right.
And I want to mention our great sponsor, Casper, a maker of amazing mattresses. It's really interesting how this has become a category, right? This is reinventing. This is what I love about the internet: reinventing the things we do normal in the normal course of events, but using the internet to make it work better. Now, often that means eliminating the middleman, but in this case, it's more than that because, of course, we've all been putting up with this idea that you can go lie on a mattress for 5 minutes in a brightly lit showroom with a salesperson glaring at you and know, oh, this is the right mattress for me, baby. I'm taking this one home. Casper, because they don't have showrooms, has found a better way. They had to find a better way. They let you get this beautiful mattress. It's engineered to perfection, made in the United States. A springy latex foam, supportive memory foam, so you get a beautiful sleep surface. Award-winning, in fact. They got the 2016 Business Intelligence Group Innovation Award. And then you get 100 nights to try it. 100 nights. And if you don't like it, no problem. They'll come and get it and take it away and refund you every penny. It costs you nothing. Casper mattresses uphold the highest environmental production standards. You can tell, by the way, when you open the box, it's a very compact box, and your mattress comes out, and it smells fabulous, and it breathes. It is the best mattress for hot summer nights. It's cool. It's made in the USA. Shipping is free. Returns are free in the U.S. or Canada. It's an amazing mattress.
What do you do with your old mattress, though? Because
there's a great article in the New York Times, actually, interesting that you should ask this Sunday. And what they did is they bought mattresses, and they returned them. The problem was they did it in Manhattan, where it's kind of hard to find charities to take mattresses. But in most cases, they try to find a charity, and a homeless center, that kind of thing. And they don't resell it. They just give it to the charity, which is, I think, kind of cool. In any event, it's off your hands, and you got your money back. I don't think you're going to return it. You think you're going to love it.
No, I'm saying when you replace your mattress, like I've got a king-size mattress.
If I
were to buy something, the store would take away the old one. I wonder what I would do with my old mattress.
Give it to Goodwill? I don't know.
If they'll take it, will they take mattresses?
Sure. Steam them.
Maybe.
You could just not move your mattress when you move and get a Casper at the new place.
Do you know? One of our audience members is brilliant. Just stack it up like the princess and the pea.
Oh.
It gets more comfortable.
You just have to launch yourself onto the
you need
mattress.
A ladder. Yeah.
Don't fall off.
Go to Casper.com right now. You'll get $50 off your mattress purchase if you go to Casper.com/twit and use the promo code TWIT. So it's already a great deal on a mattress. It's going to be even better.
You can use your old mattresses to line your VR room walls.
There you go. So you can bounce off the walls.
I could put it in my studio to absorb the sound.
Perfect.
That's not a bad idea.
Actually, the Casper would be great for that. Yeah. Casper.com/twit. $50
You can
off.
Sleep on the wall when you're done.
Hey, we've had a lot of fun. I don't know. Did we cover every story you guys care about? I think we got it all. I'm just looking at this. U.S. tech firms, including Facebook, Google, and Twitter, urging Congress to support the government's plan to give control of the DNS system to ICANN. I guess the Commerce Department still has oversight. I thought that had happened years ago. ICANN will
be in charge oversight of the nonprofit ICANN. Will go out of the Commerce Department's control October 1st unless Congress votes otherwise. This is, you know, there's this whole conspiracy theory. Oh, the UN wants to take over and the Russians and blah, blah, blah. No country should control the internet. And I think this is appropriate.
This is controlling not even the plumbing, but the way we name the plumbing. It is the most boring. I mean, I've been to ICANN meetings. It is the most tedious and boring thing. If the UN wants to take it over or if the Russians want to take it over. I mean, it doesn't control content. I mean, obviously, we don't want any government controlling where we can go on the internet, but
The internet is a global medium. It doesn't make sense for the U.S. Department of Commerce to control that.
I mean, the other way to think about that is that, like, is it broken now? Right. Kind of a big deal. Is it broken or is it working? And is this something
seems to work to me?
Right. So there's an argument to not screw around with it.
Right.
And, you know, giving it to the UN is screwing around with something.
Well, no. What they're really saying is that technically the U.S. has some authority. But when we're talking
and the
about
the internet's
done
pretty well under that authority.
Yeah, but when Facebook, Google, Twitter, and Amazon, Cloudflare, and Yahoo all agree, it's about time. I think we can say these guys know what they're talking about.
I'm happy to be with those guys.
I'm all for it. Hey, Phil, great to see you.
Nice
great
to see you
thanks
again.
So much for coming on the show. Come back soon.
Thank you. Anytime.
What are you up to? What are your investments that you're really excited about? Anything you want to talk about?
Well, my investment hypothesis is there's basically two possible futures for this world. The world can move to become more like Star Trek, or the world can move to become more like Mad Max.
I vote for Star Trek
too.
I'll take Star Trek.
Yeah, and that's kind of my job. So I want to invest in things that make the world more like Star Trek.
I love that. That's
and,
great.
And the other folks at General Catalyst are giving me enough rope to do that, so I'm pretty happy.
That is a great philosophy. I support you in that.
Thank you.
Can we get the holodeck anytime soon, though?
You know, probably in the next few years we'll have something.
All right.
Something similar. So probably be something good. You have to strap onto your face for now.
No, I don't want to strap it on. I just want to live it.
You know, one of the things that exists in Star Trek, I think, is most things are much more beneficent. They're like made in the interest of the people.
Right.
Like mattresses in Star Trek, like when you buy a mattress, it's probably not this like slimy thing that somebody's ripping you off. And so actually, like, I think something like Casper, which is not one of our
investments, is a Star Trek future.
Well, it's getting us in the right direction.
Right.
Like the idea that you can like do something like buy a mattress or open a banking account without like feeling that someone is ripping you off.
Right.
Is a big deal.
I agree.
That's the kind of thing I'm interested in.
Great to see you again.
Good
come
to see
back
you.
Soon.
Thank you.
Georgia, you're coming down here. I don't know if I'm going to be here when you're in town. You're going to the Yosemite conference?
Oh no, really?
Well, I don't know.
I'm really sad right now.
I want to see
it's
you.
It's like March. Okay,
March.
Well,
I'll be here in March. I'll make a point.
Okay, good. I'll be staying for like 2 weeks. I'll be in the air.
Good,
so
good.
At some point, I'll crash the area.
Catch George's work, of course, at imore.com. And let's not forget, is it anxiety videos?
It's anxiety dash videos.
Like, that's right. Dash. I always forget the dash.
Yeah. You're dealing with anxiety, sleep issues, depression. We have some new ones on boundaries and consequences, parenting, some other stuff like that. So,
George
is
a psychotherapist by trade. She's not making this stuff up. She's a trained professional.
Yes.
I can see people going, well, what do you know about it? Well, she knows a lot about it. And they have some great videos that are well worth it, especially the sleep video. Get the sleep you've always dreamt of. But look at all this new stuff you're doing, too. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I like boundaries. I think boundaries are a big one.
Yeah, boundaries and consequences is wonderful because it teaches you how to help other people treat you. We teach people how to let us be treated.
Yes.
And so it just keeps all your relationships happy because you're not undermined or angry but not able to share that because you created a safe boundary and a consequence if someone walks over that. So everyone should do that.
And I don't think people think about it or talk about that at all, but that is a great way to contextualize it so that you protect yourself in a way that not only protects yourself but is responsible about your relationships with other people.
Yeah, and it's not about just parenting. That's about like love relationships, work relationships. This is something that everyone should do, and I think that very few people even know that they have a right to have a certain level of interaction with someone else or a consequence to that.
Right. I love this comment in the chat room from Dr. Wiggs. Oh, that Georgia Dow. I've got that bookmarked. I didn't know you were on Twit. Yes, that Georgia Dow. Not just some, not a Georgia Dow. The Georgia Dow.
What other Georgia DAO is he following, I guess?
I guess there must be others.
Some other one.
There must be
I'm also going to be speaking at Coco Love. It's our last Coco Love. And I'm going to be the keynote speaker, and I'm going to be talking about helping people get more connected. And
what's Coco Love? I love the name.
Coco Love. Yeah.
Is there Coco involved?
There'll probably be Coco there.
Where is that? In Montreal?
That's going to be in Philadelphia. And I think that the tickets are on sale until the 23rd of September, and it's October 14th to 16th, and it's a lot of fun.
I might be in Philadelphia that week.
Really?
It's a conference.
I'm planning a conference. Yeah. I'm planning an event on February 7th in Philadelphia. So, safe room that day's going to be this year.
It's the city of chocolatey love.
I was just there on Thursday. Lovely, lovely city.
I love doing conferences. So everyone should go to a conference if you've never gone to a conference before.
This is like Yosemite. This is another Apple conference.
Exactly. Yeah,
and go to the Constitution Museum right across from the Liberty Bell. It is awesome.
Oh, wow.
Really?
There. You know what's cool about this is with the demise of Macworld Expo, all of these independent, wonderful, very personal events have sprung up. And I think that's in some ways, that's better than having one centralized event.
Oh, Macworld Expo turned out to iPhone Case Expo.
Yeah, was it so ridiculous? The last few years it was terrible.
Oh my God, a new iPhone case. How exciting.
Good. All right, cocolove.org. Larry Magid, you'll find him at connectsafely.org or safekids.com.
Or larrysworld.com.
Or larrysworld.com. And of course, regularly on CBS Radio.
Regularly.
You've heard that voice over and over.
Oh, God, it gets so tedious.
I listen to KCBS in San Francisco, and I hear you all the time. And
every day at 3:50 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Must be when I just get off the air or something, because I hear you every day. And you do a great job.
Thank you, Leo.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We do This Week in Tech on Sunday afternoons, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC. You can always watch live at twit.tv, but you can also get on-demand audio and video after the fact. You can also be in the studio. What a great studio audience. You guys are fabulous. Not a peep out of you the whole time. It's tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. And if you can't make it in studio or watching on the stream, you can always get it on demand because every one of our shows is available for download at twit.tv or wherever you get your podcasts. Next week, Karsten, who's filling in for me next week?
Jason Calacanis.
That'll be interesting. He's putting together his own panel. Oh, boy. That'll be fun. Jason's the greatest. We'll look forward to that. They'll have a venture investor focus on that one. And then the following week, is it Becky Worley who's doing the show? Becky Worley's going to be filling in for me. So some great twits coming up. But I am headed out for adventure. So
have a great trip.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. My wife is saying, come on, the car's out. Your ride's waiting.
It's waiting. It's waiting right now.
Thanks for joining us. I'll see you next time. Another twit. Is in the can. Bye-bye.